I'm Jeff Heisner with the Michigan District, and welcome to the podcast. Today we've got a special podcast. The Superintendent of Schools for the Michigan District, Travis Grohlke, leads the discussion on homeschool ministries. He's joined by Brittany Ritz and Tanya Ames.
Thank you again for joining us. We are blessed to be here to have a quick little conversation with Tanya Ames and Brittany Ritz, who have some different ministries that they partake in terms of our LCMS schools and congregations across the Michigan District. And we're going to focus a little bit on some homeschooling opportunities, two different contexts, two different areas that they're serving in, and should be a fun conversation. So I'm going to take a few minutes to let them introduce themselves. Again, my name is Travis Grohlke. I'm the superintendent of schools with our Michigan District, blessed to serve our 140 or so Lutheran schools across the state of Michigan, and looking forward to a fun conversation. So I'll let Brittany start first. Introduce yourself, Brittany, and share a little bit about the homeschool opportunities at Trinity and Conklin.
Sure, yeah. My name is Brittany Ritt, and this is my third year as the school administrator at Trinity in Conklin, which is north of Grand Rapids, very rural, out in the middle of apple orchards, small little school. But last year, I was able to be a part of the SLED program. And through that program, I was asked to do a project that would better our school. And kind of after talking with others in the SLED program, and then also talking with many families in my community, I decided that a homeschool co-op would be a great option for our school. Getting that rolling, I got some community feedback and basically just went on social media as myself, the community Facebook page, and said, oh, hey, who would want to do a co-op and who would love a co-op in this area? Because I was finding that there were a lot of homeschool families and a lot of our families were choosing to homeschool just because they felt like that's where they were led. But not a whole lot of ways to get connected that were close. So that first day I got over 35 responses and messages, all positive, like, yes, we want something here. So I just kind of developed it from there. I sat down with a group of homeschool moms that came out of that big Facebook post and just asked them, what are you guys looking for in a co-op? What would be the best thing? What have you seen other co-ops do? Because a lot of them were in other co-ops, but they were driving 35, 40 minutes. So after that, out of that came two volunteer co-op leaders. Because I didn't want to be the one only leading it. And I needed someone that could really take hold of this and be responsible for the actual program. So out of that has two co-op leaders, and we came up with a half-day drop-off program. And the co-op students integrate with our day. So like our day school, K through fifth, they integrate as far as they join us with for music, they join us for recess and chapel and lunch. And then the co-op students have their own co-op teachers for STEM and art, but they get to use our facility. And the co-op also is welcome to join for our field trips, special events, and our music programs. So we try to make sure we remember to invite them along and kind of integrate and be at one big community that way. So we were gonna cap it at 25. We have 30, and we also have a wait list everyone's been showing up. So I don't think we're gonna tap into that wait list, but we're at 30 K through fifth enrolled. And yeah, it's going really well. Today was our fourth time meeting. So
do they come every day? Sorry if I'm not.
No, oh, that's good. No.
One day, half day drop off on Wednesdays. Yep.
No, that's a great way to do it. I think that's perfect. And remember when you were telling me about this a few months ago, SLED, by the way, is our national leadership training through our LCMS, our Synod office. And Brittany was part of that last year. And man, obviously it's been a blessing now that you've had to reach out to the community a little bit. Obviously 30 responses too right away means here's a need in the community that we are obviously reaching and touching. And the collaboration with the day school too, that they can be one and the same and also have their own distinct uniqueness about them. And one day a week, obviously it's meeting those needs of those families. So great to hear that context of the day school end. Yeah. And then Tanya, you're at Faith in Troy and a little different, been doing it for a long time, kind of separate on its own, not attached obviously to a day school. So why don't you share a little bit about your ministry there?
Okay. Yes. My name is Tanya Ames, and I am the homeschool ministry leader at Faith Troy. I run the co-op, which is birth through eighth grade. I think we're entering our 20th year of our co-op. And we've grown. We had ups and downs. I have been leading it. This is my fourth year leading it and our seventh year participating. Also am part of another co-op on Tuesdays that is a much smaller co-op, and that is a local co-op that is not run by a church. So I have the experience of tweaking and running a large co-op that has been established and also being the grassroots for getting this other co-op up and running. But for my job at Faith, I am on staff as the homeschool ministry leader. And I oversee about 100 families, approximately wow. 250 kids, birth through eighth grade, who come together. We come together two Fridays a month from September through April. And I also plan monthly field trips and monthly mom's nights out for the homeschool moms in our community. Our co-op is unique in a few ways. The first is that I am on staff. A lot of co-ops are just run by volunteer moms and dads who see a need, and you know, that's how the other co-op that I'm part of is run. But this one, I am on staff. And so that's one thing that's very unique about our co-op program. And the second thing is that 90% of our families are not from Faith. They are churched elsewhere. And in a few cases, we have actually a few that are unchurched. The third thing is that while the parents lead on Friday, making it a co-op, I do all of the prep work ahead of time. I have a team of key volunteers that help me plan the lessons and put some things together. And then I provide the lesson plans to the parents early in the week. We have each classroom, we have 10 classrooms, 11 classrooms this year. And each classroom has its own point person who kind of helps run the classroom and whatnot. That all of our parents are teachers, but the point person just kind of oversees and is the leader. That's the person that communicates with me if there's issues or challenges. They help make sure everybody's plugged in and that things are running smoothly. But I'll email out the lesson plans, and then the parents are involved in teaching those lessons, but we provide the plans and all of the supplies as part of their registration fee. And then in addition to the co-op, there is a separate high school community at Faith with about 70 students and about 50 families. Some of those overlap with co-op, but I would say probably only about 50% of those overlap with co-op. And these families pay per semester to have their students educated by professionals in that field of study that they're going to class for. Math and science classes are our most popular classes. The high school classes meet weekly, September through May, in 1.5 hour blocks. And every Friday they have four blocks, including also lunch and worship. And these classes are much like your college classes, where you go and you get your lecture and you're with your classmates for Friday. And then the rest of the week, you're working on your work at home with communication with your teacher via email through the week.
Wow. So over 200, that's a huge chunk. So I mean, that's obviously grown over the years. That kind of maxed out?
I don't know how many they started with. I would say like around 20 to 30 families. And then when I took it over in the fall of 2021, we had 40 families. And so since then we've made some changes. When I took it over, we made a few changes and we have just exploded and we are capped now. We can't accept any more families.
Yeah. Awesome that Faith though has said, hey, this is part of our ministry. We're going to put not only capacity of our ministry and our facilities, but also our dollars behind it as well, which is
awesome. Yeah. My salary is paid mostly through the church, not through the co-op families. It's a very huge blessing for the families. And we see it as an outreach ministry, even though most of our families are churched elsewhere, we still provide them this space and this community support. Our pastors are all home educators themselves. So,
yep. Yeah, and keeps that connection. Yeah. Awesome. So let's think about some blessings, just some big blessings that you've seen so far. I know Brittany, yours has not been there too long, but can you mention one or two things that have stood out to you so far that have just been a big blessing for the ministry itself?
Yeah, since this is only our fourth meeting today, it's hard to tell the impact that it's had on the actual congregation. I know none of the co-op students attend Trinity Church, but like you said, most of them do attend a church elsewhere. But getting them that exposure and familiarity with Trinity Church, I think, will be a blessing later. And I think the biggest blessing that I've seen already is it's had a positive impact on our school students. So we don't have a super large school population. So our day school is 23 kids, K through fifth. And our school kids get so excited to have extra kids to play with and make new friends. And they always look forward to Wednesday to go find their friend in the co-op. So that's been a really cool blessing. And then we have a smaller population of boys at our day school anyway. So those boys are always excited to get out there at recess and do some more fun boy recess stuff. And so that's been a really cool thing.
Great. Yeah, definitely. What about you, Tanya? What are some of the big blessings you've seen your last 4 years or so leading this group?
Definitely the community atmosphere that's built just through having the weekly or the biweekly meetings and whatnot. It's really a blessing, not just to the families, but to the church as well, and the outreach that it brings. It's really cool to see a co-op family that hasn't been going to church or that's been looking for a church that they start coming on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights to our other events that we offer. And it's really cool to see them get connected and pulled in that way. And then the biggest blessing for the community at large, the homeschool community at large, is just the building usage. Our co-op families or our homeschool families, it's really hard to find a space that will accommodate a large number of people for a price that's affordable. You got to think most of our families are one income families. And so there is an affordability issue there when it comes to renting large spaces and whatnot. So the ability of having a space to come to that's safe and clean and whatnot is a huge blessing just to the homeschool community at large.
Yeah, definitely. And your congregation obviously supports that through their staffing with janitors and keeping everything nice and neat and clean and all that. That's awesome. Back to you again here, Tanya, with this next question with just resources. What are some of those top, two, three big resources for families that are homeschooling their families that kind of are go-tos for you that you share?
Yeah. And I'll have this will be included in the links, but the HSLDA, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, is a great one. That's a national association that is in charge of being the watchdog for all of the homeschool laws in the country. And so when there's something that comes up that's concerning, either at a state level or even at a family level, regarding homeschool, that's your go-to. And they're very affordable to join per year. I think it's $100 per year, or maybe $130 per year. So that would be my first one to join if you're looking at homeschool laws in the state or even at the local level. The second one is Mission. Mission is the Michigan Christian Homeschool Network, and they are our state level homeschool watchdog that they look at all of the homeschool laws in Michigan. They keep us informed. They provide us information about the laws in Michigan so that we can make sure that we're following them. And then just the support that they provide at a level of you live in Oakland County. Here's a list of homeschool connections that you can reach out to and whatnot. So their website is really good. And then the Facebook is a huge place for homeschool moms and dads to go. There is a LCMS homeschool Facebook group that you can join if you're interested in that. And there's lots of questions every week about how to start a co-op or questions about co-ops and whatnot. So that would be a really good place to start. The local homeschool Facebook groups too. If you search your county or your city or your state, and just type in homeschool, you'll connect with a lot there and be able to find the resources that are local for you.
Yeah, good ones, good ones. So Brittany, if a school principal or a congregation leader or whoever may be thinking, how can we connect our day school, maybe do something similar to what Trinity's doing? Are there a couple things you would think of would be some key things to think about, maybe some challenges out there too that you bumped into or ran into, or besides putting on Facebook and get 30 great responses, you know, what are some of those ideas you got?
Yeah, I think it was just a lot of connections. I do a Bible study every Thursday that is out in the community, and there's a ton of homeschool moms that are part of that. So just building those relationships and that connection. I think also just actually meeting with that smaller group of homeschool moms really helped to figure out what they were looking for, because my initial ideas of what I was thinking the co-op would look like weren't necessarily what they were looking for or what they needed or what was important to them. So I think that was really important to collaborate with them and not just make it like, this is what I want, join or not join kind of thing. So that was helpful. I think for us, just starting simple, like capping it at 30 kids and just doing a half day, one half day, and just kind of add as you go. I think just starting something like this is already such a big effort anyways, to just kind of make it small and then you can add on in the future. And then I think as far as integrating like my school staff and the homeschool, is just making sure that your school staff is on board and also that they're informed, so there's no surprises. Make sure they're involved. Like they've seen some things, like last week, a homeschool co-op left the door propped open during the day. Like, you know, a teacher came to me. She was like, you know, this happened. And I was like, okay, I'm on it. Like just that they feel like they're part of it and it's not just a bunch of people coming into their space and messing up their stuff or anything, but that there's collaboration there, and also that they're enthusiastic about it, just helps everything too. And then the last thing would probably be to keep healthy boundaries with leaders, staff, students, and parents, just outlining those. We came up with a handbook, which is always necessary, and just like parent handbook, but also a co-op leader/volunteer handbook. Just these are your responsibilities. This is what we're expecting. These are the no's and the yeses. I think was really important. As far as challenges, in the beginning, we were registering for the co-op. We discovered a lot of parents did not want their kids to be on the public school roster. And the reason that came up was because initially we were going to use our shared time teachers, music teacher in particular, to teach the co-op kids and our kids. We got approved through the public school that they could do that. But that means that the co-op kids would have to be on the public school roster. And there were quite a few that did not want that. So working through that, also as a person that's never homeschooled, I didn't even know that was like a thing that people didn't want to do. So that was educating me and then just kind of working through that on how we could figure that out. And then a silly one is the etiquette of the homeschoolers. It's really funny during chapel how squirrely they are, and just working through that of like, okay, this is how we act during chapel, and just getting them in that right mindset. So that was just kind of not really a challenge, but just like, oh yep, that's different.
Yeah. I get it. I'm looking forward to when I lead chapel there to have them all there to see. Yeah. That's cool. That's gonna be awesome. All right. What about you, Tanya? We've got a congregation saying, hey, we're thinking about hosting a co-op in our community. What are some of those do's, don'ts, some challenges that you see as well?
I think my first one would be to have the right motivation when you're getting started. I mean, if you're a school that's looking to do like what Brittany has done, that's fantastic. And I love everything that I've heard about what you're doing. But homeschoolers are different. And I'm not afraid to say that. We are a different breed, but we're not scary. We just have a different viewpoint on everything. And or a lot of things, but we're also, you know, very similar, and we want the same things for our kids. And so we want that education, we want that community support. And so being able to do that in a way that is not judging, but just coming alongside us and helping us to support our families and to not try to change what we're doing, but to support what we're doing. Yep. So I think that motivation is a huge thing, just making sure that motivation is there and the reason for the motivation is correct. And then the second thing would just understand the laws of homeschooling before you jump into it, because there's a lot of confusion about what's allowed, what's not allowed, why isn't this required or whatnot. And that's the last thing a homeschooler that's spending all their time educating their child and trying to get outside support and connection and whatnot, the last thing they want to do is answer a bunch of questions that could be answered if you just looked online and read about homeschooling. So I would say for the leaders in the congregation to be able to take the time to understand the homeschool laws and the homeschool, the reasons why people homeschool. And then another thing would just be to invite your congregation members that homeschool in for a chat. You know, in front of the leaders that are looking to do this, have them explain what are they looking for. Like Brittany said, what do they need? How can we help you? How can we support you? As down here, when we were looking to start the co-op locally last year, we had all of our families. We didn't need help finding families. What we needed help with was finding a facility that would host 30 families every Tuesday. And, but like Brittany said, you know, they had the families and whatnot, but they didn't have that cohesive group yet. They hadn't met together yet. And so finding out, do they need the community established or do they just need a place for their community to meet? I guess would be the two questions.
Yeah, definitely. And Brittany touched on something that I think we can add it in here. The fact that homeschool parents, as well as a lot of our non-public school parents, don't want their kid registered with the Department of Education. You're probably aware, Tanya, there's a legislation right now going out there that will require all non-public school students and homeschool
parents. Stalled. As well. Yes.
Yes, it is stalled. Yeah. And I think some of the lobbyists from the homeschool areas are working with.
And that's where Mission came in last year. So.
Yep. And we're grateful that we're pushing kind of against this, that MDE. You know, they've used some strange reasonings behind it. And we're not quite sure what the reasons would be for that. But that's maybe a whole other podcast down the road. We could dive into that topic as well. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure Brittany and Tanya both, I've relied on you a couple different times when I've just sent some people your direction because your expertise in these areas. We're going to put that, I think, in some of the links and things after this podcast and things to just share. The resources that were already mentioned on here. But any closing thoughts before we're done? Brittany, I'll start with you. Anything last to share with the group at all? Put you on the spot here now. Yeah. Anything?
Yeah. No, I say if you are really thinking about doing it, just start talking, just start getting information, getting all that data, and don't be afraid to just try one little step at a time and see where it goes.
Definitely. Tell me about you. Anything close with?
Not really. Just that if you're thinking about it, go for it. Take that next step. I don't think you're going to be disappointed at all. I think you're going to find that it is another way to use your congregation to serve the community.
Amen. I want to thank you two for being a part of this and have a chance to dialogue a little bit. Again, thank you too for the future when I reach out to you asking some more questions. Grateful again for obviously all of our Lutheran School partnership, but also our homeschool networks that are throughout the state. We appreciate that. I'm going to say a little prayer to close, and then we'll call it quits, and you guys can get back to work. All right. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity we had to talk a little bit about some great ministries happening throughout our Michigan district. We're thankful for our Lutheran schools that are connecting with some of the homeschool families in their area. We thank you for our Lutheran congregations as well, that are just hosting some of these homeschool co-ops and making it a part of who they are as outreach to the community and just being a blessing to the community. Be with Brittany and Tanya both as they lead in some different ways. Thank you for all their gifts and talents. We thank you for all those right now that are serving students and families throughout the state of Michigan through education. Continue to lift them up, strengthen them, encourage them, and help us to continue to just do all we can to please you with everything we say and do. For all these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys very much. Blessings on your continued work.
Thank you.